Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
Taking on a new role is always a learning experience, and more so when you take it on in a new company. Not only do you need to develop your approach to that new role, you need to get to know your team, understand the product, the processes, and the challenges, but you also need to find ways to improve on what's been done before. Welcome to the Make It Right podcast. I'm Janet Eastman, and this week on the show, my guest is Vladimir Floresca. He's the plant manager at AP&G Co. in New Jersey. AP&G is a leading manufacturer of high-quality monitors and traps for rodent, fly, and insect management, including adhesives for pest management applications. Vladimir took over the role of plant manager about a year and a half ago after holding various leadership roles in both small and large companies, including Coca-Cola. He's here to share the journey with us that he has encountered since he joined AP&G. So welcome to the show, Vlad.
Thank you, Janet. Appreciate it.
It's our pleasure to have you. So, Vlad, you've been an operations manager and a production manager prior to becoming the plant manager at AP&G. So what were some of the challenges you faced coming into this role in a family business?
Okay, first challenge for me was information. I would say information first. Coming into a plant, I would expect to have some key metrics established and a control of what I would say would be the different waste of the system. At any time, you could know what's breaking down. And that's really an expectation in a big company. Anytime you can know what's the efficiency of your line and why a specific line is breaking down, and also able to distinguish what are mechanical breakdown, operational, and those things. So now, coming into a family business, and I'm not saying all family business and small business are the same. Some small businesses really really advanced in technology. However, the expectation here is to bring in this company to this world-class level where you can have an information top of your, at the tip of your finger, and you can really understand this information so that you can prevent things from happening. Remember in my days at Coca-Cola, and I've never seen this system in any other company, there's an information system called LIS, where at any time you could know the efficiency of each workstation and what would be the final efficiency of your line during the day. If there's any change happening, you will see it at a glimpse, and any employee had this information in front of them, so they were able to react. But also the main thing was to try to prevent things and looking forward and not having a reactive situation all the time.
So when you actually came into this role, did you have anything that indicated to you what some of your measurements were, or was that something that you had to implement?
Yeah, I definitely have to implement that. We had some basic information of how much we'll produce, things like that. Now, when you got to get deep into understanding what was the efficiency of the line, we have practically 17 different lines. Some of them are specialized in packaging. However, to direct and be able to lead a company to achieve some great result, you need to understand where are you right now. So on a daily basis would be good. In my perspective, on a minute-to-minute basis, it's better. On an hourly basis, it's better. So the expectation has to be clear for the plant manager, as the same way it's clear for the employee on the line. And a fact that I know we need to operate at 90%, and the guy at the end of the line, the operator at the end of the line, I have no idea how much we're running and what's the expectation, that's going to be a big problem. So one of the first thing was establishing those key metrics and defining them. And you don't do that at a glimpse. You sit down. I took about the 2-3 months observing, being on the floor, doing what they call the Gemba, and really learning the process also, because I was getting out of the food and beverage industry and coming into the pest management. And it's, you know, manufacturing is manufacturing. However, you need to be able to get involved into the process and assimilate the differences. So establishing the key matrices, the quality index, efficiency of the line, and also helping your operators understand and distinguish the differences, breakdown of the line, what was an operation issue, what is a mechanical issue, and how they can prevent that. Now, there is one exceptional thing that I found here, and I can say that because it was pretty difficult accomplishing it in Coca-Cola, and it was practically this company had already established a TPM program, a total preventive maintenance program. Operators here are very, very involved in the operation, in maintaining the machine. They are practically operators and mechanics on the machine. They understand, they know the noise, they know what needs to be done at the machine every day, at every changeover. And they leave their machine in a very pristine condition. So that was a very, very good point that I saw here, and I had to build on that. So we were able to put those metrics in place, efficiency of the line, understanding what was what were the rate, and this thankfully the CEO of this company, Steve Frisch, I consider him as a manufacturing CEO because he's very well involved in the process. So with his help, I was really able to sit down with my team and putting those things in place, and also communicating into the line. And you know, after a couple of months, a couple of weeks, you will find operators coming to you and saying, look, after feedback, yesterday we had this efficiency. I don't understand why I did this, if I did this and this. And they started to take ownership of it. So that's one thing. Second of all was seeing some startup inefficiencies. When you're on the floor and you're studying your line, the line is not really startup if you're not starting to produce a quality product. They had to start understanding that well. And it's about proper procedure to shut down, proper procedure to start up, and establishing those standards. And really, to have a good management team, it's the role, it's maintaining those standards. So those two factors, establishing key metrics, and understanding the startup inefficiencies and working on them. And also, I can add, we were using what we call production sequence and not a production schedule. and for me, it was a little bit tough to understand, to only have, okay, we will do A, B, and C, but not really structured on this is going to start at 8:30 and it's going to finish at 10. That's the expectation. So we had to create those things, establish a product, an adequate production schedule. But a part of that, I could see a need for really getting the company into what you call a lean culture, having some visual controls in the plant, and also starting to document processes and procedures. So those were the main thing. So the key matrix, inefficiencies in the startup, clearly expectations for the team on the floor, establishing a good production schedule and visual controls on the floor, and documenting in process and procedures.
How hard was it for you to go into the company and get your team to understand that this was something that needed to be done, and to even to get them to, like, large companies know what Lean is, they know what Kaizen is and Six Sigma. How hard was it for you to get the people on your team to understand what these processes were and how to get them rolling and why it was so important to get them rolling so you could get the results?
Janet, look, it's pretty simple and also complicated in the process. Now, first, everything starts with commitment. The leadership team, the ownership of the company is committed to really get to this world class. So they support the management team. So that's the first step. So when you come down and you start communicating those challenges, you present the challenge to the team, you need to educate those people on the floor. Those are very dedicated employees. Most of the employees here have been working in this company between 27 and 32 years.
Wow.
So they are experts. You know, they are all, most of them have more than 10,000 hours running a machine and executing an operation. So they do know what they're doing, and they are very identified with the company. So they have a good engagement. So that was a win situation for me coming in. It's tough when you get into some companies when there's a lot of conflict and employee or not engaged. However, this was not the case here. They are very identified with the company. And the ownership, they're very engaged. So now the next step was educating them. You know, if first going to the trenches to them, stay on the floor with them, and getting dirty, and really showing them, going to some deep analysis. One of the first thing we did was training them on some 5S training, so that everybody from the team, and now, you know, to be able to do that, you need to stop your line, have a bunch of employees not on work hours in a training room, and also on the floor doing some audit and executing things. So it was important to get this time and the commitment from the ownership to be able to run those programs. Now, the first thing you're gonna find is the operators telling you, "Look, we've been doing this for 20 years like that, and it's working. Why we need to change that?" Now, you need to show them this is going to be better now. Let's do it your way. We record this. We look at the opportunities. And they try to do it the other way. Not like throw out all your fixed ideas about how to do things. And it's very important to make people understand that you cannot accept the status quo. If you are not improving things from on a day-to-day basis, it's definitely gonna be a big issue. You know, as a leader, what do you do? You execute by example. I would be on the line myself as the plant manager, with the production manager, because the production manager also has been in this business for 26 years. However, it was lacking some of this training, Because small business people another difference. They don't have a big budget for training. They don't have a program for training. And I'm not, and I don't want to generalize. Again, some small company has it. However, this was important to get the couple supervisors and the production manager involved in this. Show them that, look, this is important. This is the way to go. This is, we already fabricating an exceptional product. Now we need to be very competitive. And how you get to be competitive, you need to eliminate most of the waste that you have in your production system. And there is tools for that. Those are the tools, visual control so that you can see a 5S program and the entire lean in panoply where there's many tools that you can use to help you identify a waste. So the response was very well taken. We you're not gonna start doing this by applying in 5S on 17 lines on in 1 month. No. You go step by step. You have a plan, and you go line by line. And while you're doing this, you're getting a team that's really gonna be involved, and you have them become trainers. So this is the plan that we executed here. We have a couple of employees that were very engaged on the first 5S. And after the second and third line, I stopped training. Now it was a production manager and one of the lead operator executing the training on 5S. And we still are executing that. And it's a good approach to it. Because now you have one of the long-time employee that before didn't have this knowledge. Now it's well-trained and is practicing. The best way to learn is for you to go and practice it, execute it. So he's the one executing it and going to train other employees and going on other lines. And now we're creating a pool of people that have this knowledge. So it's not applying on one line, and this is going to be applied all over the floor on the 17 lines that we have. So it is a big challenge. However, it's need to be patient and trust people.
Right. So tell me about some of your successes. Were you able to significantly reduce your waste?
Oh, definitely. Now, my approach to success is I've never take it on a personal and an individual basis. Really, it's a thank to this team that has been engaged, and they have a culture of improvement. It's about beating the number of yesterday. It's about establishing a high expectation for ourselves. Definitely, we've been able to increase production efficiency from 65 to 82%, and reducing waste on different lines. So we do have a tray line and a glue application line for the boards. The major impact has been on the glue boards application line because the quality there waste was at hovering around 15%, and now it's around 5%.
Wow.
We still have a long way to go because our very aggressive, the goal is around 98% right now. That's the goal that I've set for the last month. So we will be pushing toward that. But again, it's focusing on those tools. We also were able to execute after 6-7 months applying 5S as med event on one line, a quick changeover. And this line was executing at least 6 changeover per day. And changeover were taking between 30 and 45 minutes. And now after the event and being able to really change some operation on this line, is changeover is 8 minutes. So going from 35 to 8 minutes, it's exceptional. Everybody's happy. They are very much more productive. And actually, while you're doing that, you have to change your standard. Now, we do have a lot of private label linear. And imagine if you had a pallet of 270 cases for your private labels. Now, because you're reducing waste, because your changeover are quicker, and now efficiency is higher, you're getting much more than what was normally planned on a single wall. And we were looking at inventory, and inventory was increasing. And I was saying, wow, so what's causing that right now? So this was a benefit of us reducing waste and increasing efficiency. And now we had to change the standard and say, look, instead of using half a wall, we need to use this quantity of meter of wall per meter instead of just half a wall. So definitely, we were very pleased with the result.
So your company has competitors in China and elsewhere that have lower labor costs. And you've talked about this company and you've said that people have been there for a very long period of time. It's a family-run business. It sounds like the employees there operate like family. So how does AP&G compete and win? You've improved your efficiencies. You're reducing your waste. How do you win in this marketplace? You just keep doing those improvements?
Look, it's about building this culture. Now, the same way, and if you go back in history, and I don't want to repeat, and I don't pretend to repeat what Deming said, but when he said, if Japan can, why can't we? And I would repeat, if China can, why can't we? Mm-hmm. It's the same processes. Now, their focus is really, and I'm not going to go into the debate of the labor rates. However, I think that here in the U.S., if we really get to be passionate and obsessionate with the lean tools that we have and that we have mastered in some places here, we definitely can compete. We are focused here at AP&G with what the customer needs. So it's definitely not in a game of going and duplicating and copying. It's about innovation. It's about sitting down with the customer and seeing what, understanding the needs and see how we can go in and executing it. So they have done really a terrific job this past 67 years, having this kind of approach, very close to the customer. Now, it was a question of maximizing manufacture, going into automation. We are competing right now, and we are mostly manual labor. That's why we are getting now into automation. Installing now a new packaging line, automated, and we are about to duplicate this in the other lines. So I think it's not a complicated task. However, the philosophy of continuous improvement needs to be there. you don't need to spend a lot of money on improvement. But if you involve and have all your employees engaged, and they can, on a daily basis, give you feedback on how they can improve their operation, how they can improve their process, you definitely have a step ahead of the game.
Where do you want to take the company next, Vlad? You've been there for a year and a half. What are your goals?
Goals for the company are very clear. We need to go to a world-class, and when I'm talking world-class, and if you want to look at minimizing waste, having a 99.9% quality index, if we can control our process to a Six Sigma, it will be definitely a goal for us. And also being able to understand, like, the manufacture, not only the packaging of the product will sell the product, and also the environment, the floor. A floor totally clean and organized definitely can sell your product also. It will be clear when there's something wrong. It's not organizing for organizing. It's organizing so that when there's something wrong, you see it right away, you know? So we definitely, as the goal is to get this company as a world class, so that people want first to come here and work here and make it better and get this a much bigger part of the market.
You're on a very interesting journey, Vlad, and I really appreciate you sharing your experiences with us. And it's very interesting because I'm listening to you and I'm thinking about Kevin Snook's book, Make It Right, and you are echoing all the things that he has tested and tried, and he says they work. And it's really, really great to hear from you. So thank you very much.
No, thank you for having me, and thank Kevin also for approaching.
Yes, it's our pleasure. Yeah. So good luck, and hopefully maybe we can check back with you in the coming months and see how you're doing.
Definitely. It will be a pleasure.
Okay. Vladimir Floresca is the plant manager at APNG. He is based in New Jersey. That is our show for today. If you have a topic you'd like to discuss, please do get in touch at makeitrightpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube, and you can follow us from the various links on the podcast page at lucidi4.com. I'm Janet Eastman. Thanks very much for listening to the Make It Right podcast.